So they all enjoy the lunch. You all enjoy your lunch too much. Do you all manage to do your sitting in 1 minute? Maybe some of you haven't even get ready, shifting your leg. I didn't prepare the script, I'm just recalling what I said. Yeah, because just now the recording is off, so the sound isn't there. Yeah. So sometimes we may feel that we are our life is very packed, yeah, so we cannot meditate. Yeah, maybe some days our day we is too packed, where it's filled with maybe family duties, yeah, work duties. Yeah. Sometimes maybe it's not so packed also. Yeah. And maybe we are just not in the right frame of mind. But what is the right frame of mind to meditate? Yeah, what is the right frame of mind to meditate? In a way, it is when you are content with nothing much, with having nothing much. Not that you are discontented. It is that when you are content with not having much things happening. When you see the value of observing the breath. Yeah. Deep down inside, maybe it's not that we don't value, but it's just that there are other activities that appear more valuable to us. When does it appear more valuable to us? When we are infatuated with it. Infatuated. Infatuated, I choose the word infatuated because infatuation doesn't mean that there's no value. It just means there is a superficial value. If you think about it, all the things that people do in their life have some value, at least to that person. You know? Even when some people go and do graffiti, they spray paint, yeah, to most people, especially the owner of the car or the house, it is of no value. In fact, it's detrimental. Yeah? But to the person spraying, there is some value, at least at that moment. Until he or she is caught. Yeah. So I call it infatuation because it is a superficial perception of value. And the thing is, even that is enough to overcome our wisdom, yeah, in seeing the value of meditation. Yeah. I say this because I'm an expert in this area. Huh? Yeah, expert in what sense? Expert in seeing the wrong value. Yeah, seeing the wrong value. Sometimes I catch myself and then I wonder, hey, if I have half an hour, I'm willing to quickly open up my computer and, you know, squeeze in a new feature, you know. Why am I not willing to spend that half an hour to squeeze in 30 minutes of mindfulness? Why do I have to wait until I am ready to do 1 hour, then I do? Yeah. Yeah, so I tell you because I catch this. Yeah. But sometimes I don't catch also. There's this group chat, meditation group chat. Those who are inside, you may notice maybe 2 days ago, there was this student, Sai Kiang. So she mentioned about how sometimes she'll wake up in the morning, yeah, and then her intent is to meditate. But then she'll end up thinking maybe she'll meditate at 6:30 or something. But in the end, she'll snooze and then end up not meditating. Yeah. A few things about that. Yeah, I thought that was very honest, you know, in a public group chat, not personal message to Sifu. So she asked, like, what can she do? Yeah, so I shared with her, a lot has to do with developing that habit, a new habit. That the moment you wake up, to just do something simple, to start a regime that is simple enough for you to do. So I shared with her what works for me, which is the moment you wake up, to just go and freshen up, And for me, I will do a light offering, I do prostration. And usually by then, you are quite awake already. Yeah, you are usually quite awake by the time you finish all that. Then, not to go back to the bedroom, but do your sitting immediately. Yeah, no matter how long or how short, just do it. And then I further added that to do it yourself can sometimes be very challenging. Yeah, no motivation. Meditation is like going to the gym, you know, yeah, or going to yoga. If you go with a friend, then, you know, every week, either you text your friend or your friend will text you. You have a buddy to motivate you, you know. There are some people who will go for 10-click run every day. Maybe 5-click, maybe 8-click, I don't care how long. But they don't need someone to motivate them. Yeah, there are some people who are like that. When I was a lay person, every weekend without fail, Saturday or Sunday, and all Sunday, I will drive down to Fort Road, put on my rollerblades from Fort Road, car park, blade to McDonald's, take a break, toilet break, get some water, continue all the way to the jetty, then to the hawker center. And sometimes when I feel like it, I'll go all the way to Pasir Ris side, yeah, and then have lunch there, and then I'll blade back. Yeah, so that would be like maybe from 7, 8 o'clock in the morning all the way until late afternoon. Along the way, sometimes I'll meet some friends, sometimes I'll not. Yeah, but I don't need friends to motivate me. Yeah. When I was in university, every morning I would do a very short puja. So short is embarrassing. Just the threefold refuge, the Namotasa, and then basically the short puja we do. Yeah, even shorter than what we did just now. And then I'll meditate half an hour. Nothing to shout about, you know. But I keep to it every day. And then I'll do dedication. Yeah. It's about building up a regime. Yeah. Don't start off, wow. Okay, I will do Ru Xiang Zan. Then I will chant Jing Gang Jing. Wow, then Sui Chan, whatever. Wow, 2 hour puja. Yeah. Actually, not difficult to do. You do it once, not difficult. You know, followed by 2 hours sitting. You do it once, not difficult. Do it every day, that's the challenge. So I shared with her on the chat, as I told her, you can also consider that when you are doing your sitting, from 5:30 until 7, there are people doing sitting also. Let's all commit to doing some practices. Maybe some can do more, some can do less, some may do earlier, some may do later. Yeah. Sorry, we topple your things. Huh? Oh, the. Oh, his. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so I told her. And then she said, okay, she will try. So the next day, so usually, because I give myself this excuse, don't follow me, okay. My wake up time is sometimes quite erratic. Some days I wake up at 3 plus 4, sometimes I wake up at 4 plus 5, sometimes I wake up at 6 plus. So that day at 6:30, I was still thinking, and one thought came up, maybe I'll snooze. A bit tired, you know, these few weeks, a lot of classes, a lot of talks. And then I remember this student who needs some support from others to meditate together. So I thought, hey, I call her. How can I leave her alone, you know? Yeah. So I quickly wash up, did the standard routine, and then did sitting. Then something funny happened, you know. I sat half an hour. Then I forgot to turn off my alarm. So other alarms went off along the way. Then I still waited for the timer, meditation timer. And we sit. Wasn't really in a rush anyway, early morning. Sit. Then at some point I was like, you know, if you meditate frequent enough, you roughly have a feel, half an hour, how long that takes how long is 1 hour, 45 minutes and so on. I was like, this is reaching almost 45 minutes, you know. So I just double check. Then I check. Before that, when the alarm went off, it was 19 minutes left. So I double check. No, no, 3 minutes left. Anigama. But the time is already 7:10 or something already. But 3 minutes left. Then I thought, I started around 6:30. Leh. How come? It's already 7:10 and it's still 3 minutes left. I thought, oh well, never mind. Got no sitting. Sit. This 3 minutes is very long. So I double check again. 2+ minutes left. Did only 1 minute pass? And the time was 7:28 already. So I was like, huh? What's going on? And this is not an analog clock, the grandfather clock. This is my phone. I thought, okay, maybe, you know, when the power off, maybe some events, some app events, you know. So then I leave the screen on. Then I continue sitting. So until another certain duration, about 10-15 minutes passed. I thought, something is very strange. When I check, oh, the timer has went off by, I don't know, 6 minutes or so. Four minutes. I was like, huh. And throughout the whole period, no alarm went off. So in the end, I sat for 1 hour. Yeah, all thanks to my, this, I don't know what happened to the app. The interesting thing is that when I look at the log, it registered 34 minutes and started at 36 minutes, started at 6:34. So the start time was not wrong, but somehow in between it just decided to, yeah. So time dilation. Anyway, what is today's topic?
Transformation from within.
Yes, transformation from within. Learning Buddhism is really about transforming ourselves. Yeah. But although today's topic is transformation from within, many of us have to start off with external support. Most of us are not able to just start transforming from within on day one. Yeah. And that's the purpose of having the group cultivation. Yeah. To give each other support. Yeah. That's why earlier during the meal, I encourage you all to find a fresh face to talk to just get acquainted. To get acquainted. How many of you managed to talk to a new person? Raise up your hand. Hi. Oh, okay. The rest. It's okay. Later, I'll give you all time to mingle. Many times in the Buddhist circle, we tend to have this culture, you know, rather insular kind of culture. Maybe partly because of selection bias. Those who do come for Buddhist activities tend to be more reserved. Yeah, maybe not so much that you are not outgoing, but maybe the direction is more towards introspection. Yeah, so maybe we are not so used to it. Yeah, so I want you all to do an exercise. Turn to your left and turn to your right and say hello. Yeah, and if you don't know that person, introduce yourself. Yeah, if you know the face, ask yourself, do you really know the name? Many of us see each other many times, right? But then don't know the name, you know. Okay. If you're I just started 2 minutes. So you can also stand up and go and hello a bit. Can you pass me my bag? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
This is
Sorry, I need to remove my foundation. Yeah, no, you see? All done? So what has that got to do with introducing to one another? Yeah, because many times when we go to a temple or attend a class or a talk, it tends to be a solo affair. It tends to be one person in, one person out. Yeah, so as a result, sometimes it's not easy to sustain. Yeah. But besides sustaining ourselves, it's also about associating with people who are versed in the Dharma. And not associating ourselves with those with wrong views. Or if we happen to meet someone who has maybe some wrong views, to be able to point the person to right views. Yeah. The transformation from within starts with right view. Yeah, some time back we went through the Sammaditti Sutta. Are you all familiar with that sutta? Sammaditti Sutta. The Sammaditti, Ditti is view. Yeah, Sammaditti, right view. The teaching on right view. So this sutta starts off establishing what is wrong, unwholesome deeds versus good, wholesome deeds. Starts off with this. In other words, to clearly define what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is not so good, not good. Why is this important? This is important because if our mindset, right view is about our mindset. If the mindset is not clear, not right, our attempts to change our external behavior will be short-lived. Why short-lived? Because if we only change our external behavior, but the inner view and mindset is pointing in the opposite direction or a tangential direction, then we will find ourselves frequently in conflict.
Oh, 我们的两个小朋友他们自己出去改改 齁。 不可爱不用紧 可爱齁 被人家拐走啊。 Never mind, let them be, but you all help look around 齁。 But their mother quite steady. If I lose two child and get Dharma, it's worthwhile.
Your child for that. There are many ways to learn Dharma without losing two child, okay? Yeah. Right view. From right view, then our behaviors would follow suit. Yeah, so just now there was one of the participants who asked me the question about taking alcohol. So his question is very interesting. especially the premise. The premise of his question is very interesting. He says that National Day is coming. So he wants to experience the national culture, the national heritage. So he decided to try the Singapore Sling. So I'm like, what? So I asked him, I shared with him a series of questions. I asked him, do you think late Lee Kuan Yew, just now I didn't say late, but we should say late Lee Kuan Yew, do you think LKY tried Singapore Sling? I say, I don't know, but there's a high chance he didn't. But if let's say he didn't try it, does it make him less of a Singapore story? Less of part of the Singapore story? Not taking Singapore Sling wouldn't take that away from him. You know, he's pretty much a part of the Singapore story. Whether you like his policy or not, that's another thing. But he was there. Then I asked, how about Stamford Raffles? In all likelihood, he didn't try it because Singapore Sling was invented after the fact, right? So historically, there was no way for him to have taken the Singapore Sling. But it doesn't change the fact that he colonized Singapore, among other places, with William Farquhar, and as a result, indirectly led to the development of modern-day Singapore. It would be wrong to do a direct attribution, because they colonized Singapore without the aim to actually develop modern-day Singapore. They have no idea that it's going to happen. And if the powers to be had that way, we wouldn't have gained independence anyway. It was because they couldn't have a stranglehold on all the colonies throughout Southeast Asia. It was becoming not in vogue anymore to be a colonial power. But still, for the right or wrong reason, Raffles is part of the Singapore story in a way. And he didn't try Singapore Sling. And then I said, how about the coolies in early day Singapore? Who are our forefathers. Surely they didn't have enough money, or perhaps Singapore Sling was not invented yet. Does that remove them from being part of the Singapore story or history? No. So I told him, take responsibility for your own decisions and action. Don't blame it on Singapore National Day. If you want to drink, that's your choice. That's your karma. Don't push it to national identity. Singapore Sling is nothing to do with national identity, if I should say so myself. I told him, if you want to experience Singapore history and culture, go and visit the National Museum. Go to Fort Canning Hill, you experience more of the Singapore history and culture. I told him, go to any church, go to the chimes. As much as I'm not a Christian, but the fact is, it is part of the Singapore history and development. Go to the missionary schools, that is pretty much part of Singapore history and culture. So at the end of the day, I told him, it's about your personal choice. But he kept on coming back to one question. If I take the five precepts, does it mean that I'm not allowed to take alcohol? And therein lies the disparity between how the precepts are, and how many people, including him, may have the misconception. The precepts is often taken as an external rule with respect to us. And if we were to take it, then we are forbidden by the rule to do something. The precepts is not something like that. It's about our mindset, whether we accept that taking alcohol has harmful consequences, that it is detrimental to our wakefulness, our awareness, and our ability to make the right judgment call. Recognizing this, we subscribe to the precepts, subscribe to this teaching. We adhere to it as a result. So acceptance of the precept is the start. Yeah, that means agreeing with that direction. But then, not all of us, for whatever reason, may be able to align ourselves as far as our body and speech is concerned. Maybe in terms of our mindset, we agree. But maybe there are other circumstances. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm saying that's the least we should do. Yeah, we should not disagree with the precept and say that we should interpret in this way and that way so that we can take. Yeah. So he cited a few other venerables. I won't mention the name. Yeah. For more information, you can go and look for him yourself. Yeah. But I asked him, what the basis is for that venerable to say that 九戒, 这个, 开戒多, yeah. So further saying that, 学戒要懂得开遮吃饭. Yes, it's correct. But as far as the precept on alcohol is concerned, the only allowance that I know of is medical condition. And that's why, while it's not okay to even take a sip of beer, which is, most people will not get drunk with one sip. But it's okay to take just one teaspoon of cough syrup that will knock you out. You know, and that's why a lot of medication actually have the indication will cause intoxication. Do not operate heavy machinery, right? Yeah, they tell you clearly, hey, sifu, intoxication leh. Yo, this sifu, take intoxication. Yeah, but this is an allowance given because it is taken in the context of medication. So our practices stem from our view, our mindset, in other words. Yeah, the kind of attitude we have. Yeah. To transform ourselves, from the start, it must come from within. Yeah. And this transformation from within is about adopting the right mindset. In other words, right view. Yeah. So, reflect. Think about the attempts of ours to change ourselves. And you ask yourself, of all the times in our life that we managed to change, or we observe versus those cases of individuals, whether it's ourselves or others, where the attempts are short-lived. Yeah? You may find that it concurs with this notion, that as long as the change is not from within, as far as the mindset is concerned, then those changes, those attempts to change the behavior, you can change for 3 days, 5 days, even a few weeks. Yeah, but until an inner transformation involving our mindset occurs, until that happens, very easy for us to lapse, to fall back. Having said that, does it mean that we should not change our body and speech until we change our mind? Should we just wait until we have right view, then we observe precepts? We shouldn't also. If you have a choice, one shot, transform your view, your intent, your speech, action, livelihood. Transform your effort, your mindfulness and concentration. One shot, noble eightfold path. Boom! Yeah, tonight, 2359. Yeah, or on National Day. Yeah, he said National Day must try Singapore Sling. I said, National Day, try Noble Eightfold Path. We can say that is the most ideal. Yeah, one shot, you change everything. Yeah, starting from your view, bodily and verbal actions, and then purifying your mind. All one shot. Worst case, don't transform anything. Yeah, let's just get the two obvious cases out of the way.
In between is where maybe you start. Some people start off with just transforming the speech first. Some people transform the bodily actions first. Maybe some out of the first four or five precepts, maybe you just transform one or two. Yeah. And maybe along the way, some purify part of the view, other part of the view is imperfect yet. Does it mean that we must purify all our views, then we can do any practices? In my opinion, we don't have to go for all or nothing. Yeah. Show hand. Don't have to. Yeah, this is a recurring theme that I find very important. Yeah. Because if we keep on having this mindset, either I purify everything or else I don't purify, we are setting ourselves up for failure. Yes, we should try to, you know, do the transformation from within. Yeah. But if we wait until then, we may never start. And if we never even start, we may never even transform within or without. Yeah. So start wherever you can. But know that in the long term, it must reach our mindset. It must reach a mindset. But telling you all this is kind of preaching to the converted. Because you are attending Dharma class. You're already attending Dharma classes. So you should by now see the value of having the right mindset. Then it's a question of, okay, what else do I lack? What other areas am I lacking? Frequently check. The other day I shared with some students in another class. I don't know whether I shared in this class yet. Did I share of dripping food? Have I shared in this class yet in SGC? Dripping food? No, I think I shared on Thursday, in the Thursday class. So the story, I'll share the story, then you all can ask some questions, and then this is quite a nice place. We can relax a bit, okay. So the story is this. Let me localize the story. So just now when you were having your lunch, did you all drip some food on your face? Yes, did you all drip? Check, quickly check. So, if halfway eating, one of your fellow friends point at you, like that, then what is your response? You would say, you would wipe and say thank you, right? Yeah. Maybe sometimes we will not say, sometimes we will like act blur. and then casually sometimes we are like that, but sometimes people don't tell us, not because of non-caring, but because maybe they are not so close to us. If let's say you are with a stranger, you're in a food court, and you know you are just there alone, and there's no place to sit, and you just sit with a stranger, and the stranger eat until you know the char bee hoon drip all over, then the green vegetable, and then you look up. Then the person look at you, and then got this carrot here, mushroom here. Then what would you do? Complete stranger. What would you do? So just pass tissue paper. And do you say anything? If you don't say anything, maybe they'll say, oh, thank you. Wipe everywhere, but don't wipe the mouth. So sometimes, but sometimes maybe even if it's a stranger, we will just, you know, very politely tell the person. Yeah. But when you tell the person, do you do this? Like, 各位乡亲父老, everybody, attention. This guy, we shouldn't do that also, isn't it? So you tell the person discreetly. And if our friends tell us, we would be thankful and we wipe ourselves, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. We shouldn't be angry with the person for telling us. But there's another aspect that we do sometimes. Yeah. When it's our face And others tell us that it's dirty, we will clean our face and we are grateful. But how about our heart? How about our mind? Yeah. When others tell us that there's something dirty in our heart, something obscuring our mind, are we grateful? Yeah, now you all say yes. Now you all say. I think sometimes we are grateful. I think at the end of the day, we are all grateful. But sometimes at that moment, at that moment, because maybe that person is not so careful, and the person say it out very loud. Sun Hao, right? Yes, yes, there's something on your face. If you accidentally say it so loud, and then everybody know how. Yeah, but maybe, I just use it as an example. Is it okay?
I was gonna role play.
Oh, you even want to role play? Oh, yeah. So imagine, maybe the first time I just hint to him. But you are not aware. You act like you are not aware.
Oh, okay.
No, you're still not aware. Don't be aware. If you're aware, then I cannot say out loud. Then I keep on doing this. Then you look at me. Then he look at me like very confused. Then I say, hey, Sun Hao. Sun Hao. What? You must say what?
What?
No, here.
What?
Sun Hao, your mouth is dirty.
Oh.
You know, maybe sometimes by the time people say out loud, it's because we just don't get the hint, you know. Yeah. So likewise in real life, sometimes maybe people try their best to tell us discreetly, yeah, about the defilements in us. Yeah, directly, indirectly, discreetly, but we cannot get the hint. So, but some, you know, out of compassion, tell us. And maybe people can hear, maybe people cannot hear. But we may feel offended. We may feel offended. Then we may sometimes, out of pride, maybe even deny that it's dirty. You know, just like our face. You know, actually, something dripping. Then, huh? Where got? Have meh? Don't have ma? Where? Don't have ma? Chey. Now we may sometimes behave in this way. If we behave in this way, hard to have any transformation, internal or external. Difficult to have the transformation. Yeah. Again, I tell you this not because Sifu is very good at transformation. When I was newly ordained, everybody is senior. When you are newly ordained, everybody, you are the most junior. Because you are novice monk, everybody is bhikkhu. So all the senior bhikkhu all will tell me, you cannot do this, this one you did wrongly, that one like this, like that. Wow. But when I was newly ordained, you know what? When they tell me, I have the... give them one face, no. But while I'm doing that, I also reflect. So one day I told one of the senior monks, I said, Guha Fasi Tsubei, let me use English because otherwise I spend a lot of time translating. So I told him that while I may not appear to receive with pleasure, yeah, I know that you all mean well. Please continue to tell me off. Please continue to correct me. And even if I do not show pleasure on my face, I'm taking it and I'm trying to change myself. Please give me some time. In our life, there are different kinds of blessing. Yeah, to have, I don't say it must be a teacher, but to have others point out the food dripping on our face, that is a blessing. Yeah. So people around us, if they were to point out our mistakes, point out our shortcomings, whether it's our behavior or our actions or our thought, our mindset, this or whatever, don't be so quick to explain it away. Don't be so quick to do that. Listen first. Yeah. Listen and consider whether it has merits. Don't blindly accept every criticism also. You know? I'm sure there are people who will come and tell you, hey, you shouldn't go SGC lah. Then? Shouldn't go temple at all.
then does it mean that we should take that kind of criticism? You know? Yeah. So, but if you don't listen carefully, you wouldn't know whether it's valid or not. Yeah. So listen closely, attentively. Don't jump in to deny it first, nor jump in to affirm it. Yeah. That way you can really listen and know what people are trying to tell you. Yeah. If people tell you there's something here, then you can be like, no, 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 my face is clean. No, 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 don't tell me. No, no, no. That is very ridiculous. So when people give us their comments or criticism or whatever, whether we like it or not, that's another thing. Liking is a very interesting thing, you know. Yeah. The cloud precipitates. It rains not because the rain feel like it. Your phone works not because it feel like it. At least a normal phone. That's why sometimes when your phone is faulty, then you say, my phone kisiao liao. Today don't feel like working. Yeah, by right, phones are supposed to work. If it has power, you press the button, you initiate a call, it should make a call. Isn't it? Yeah, it shouldn't depend on its likes and dislikes. So again, we come back to this, yeah, our likes and dislikes. Yeah, but the crux of the story is what? Is that to appreciate, yeah, when others point out our flaws, when others point out our flaws, receive with gratitude. Yeah, listen with equanimity. Yeah, and then you can really understand whether there is merit in the statement. And if there's merit in the criticism, then you have to ask yourself, do you want to clean yourself or do you want to continue to be dirty? If you can do that, then slowly, bit by bit, we can transform. But you must know, this alone is insufficient. You still must have the merit to have people to point it out to you, you know. Yeah. So when people point things out to you, you should be grateful that, wow, you still have the merit for people to point out to you, you know. When you don't have any more of that merit, whatever you do, nobody want to point out, you know. Yeah. You cannot meet suitable wise people to point it out to you. Yeah. So go and transform yourself. Amitabha. Any questions? Yes.
Then as a cultivator, do we refrain from, telling people? Do we refrain from telling people as our practice?
Because sometimes telling people.
Certain times we see certain things right in the action. We think it's not right. So we have to tell the person with a kind intention. But actually, in a way, if you reflect it, it's because we ourselves use it. So as a cultivator, do we refrain ourselves from sin? Another way of looking.
So if we tell people about certain things coming from the angle of displeasure, that means we are not happy with it, then we are not doing it as part of the cultivation.
No, all with kind intention, I believe. But I'm saying that.
But I'm using your example now. No, you don't know. Otherwise, you wouldn't be cupping. Don't keep changing the premise. Okay. I'm using your original premise. Because you added one point about if it's because we feel it. Yeah, I'm going on this point.
Okay, with a kind intention.
Then what are you feeling?
Because we think we should say it with a kind intention.
No, wait, explain the feeling part. Or is that a slip of the tongue?
No. It's that we feel that we have to say it for the kind intention of the other person. But the receiving person may not, certain people may not receive it properly. So as a cultivator, do we actually refrain ourselves from saying the thing? Giving that advice.
Okay.
Okay, one example.
Oh,
everybody, people, when we meditate, right, the foot is painful, right? we'll stretch ourselves. Then they will say, cannot point your foot at the Buddha. But actually, Buddha never complained. The pain is there. Say, okay, thank you. But you get told every time, you know.
We meant every time, ah? Every time, then you still point, ah?
No, you just stretch your leg, what? The Buddha sitting in front, what? Right. So I'm saying that because actually we all have kind intention.
Okay, so you see, there are 360 degrees. You don't always have to point at 0 degrees, right? You can point at 45 degrees or so, ma.
Yeah, so
you can also point at 90 degrees, ma.
Like in Thailand, happened that, you know, Buddha is sitting in front. Maybe sometimes it's not in front, but somewhere, you know. They just say the feet cannot point. So actually, because when we are longer already, right, as a cultivator, we see somebody doing that. We also want to open our mouth to say the kind intention. But because having felt when I initially do this, and you know that like so many people saying right, you get irritated. So I'm just wondering, as a cultivator, do we reframe ourselves from saying it? Because I mean there is a lot of temptation, yeah. So because you know when we chant, right, we got no hand, we hang the hook over there. Oh, cannot, only one can do it, you all cannot do it, don't know what are the problems, you cannot remember. But these are the kind intention. But you see, so I'm just asking you know. As a cultivator, do we stop ourselves from saying such thing? Okay, I got very good karma, so a lot of people say me. Now you paraphrase it, you say I must tell myself I got very good karma, but you know, I do experience this a lot of times, so I just wonder myself whether as a cultivator I should stop myself. Now that I'm maybe longer in the...
How long?
Now we are longer, like at first when we first initiated.
How long?
Oh, 10 years probably.
10 years, So, what is your question?
My question now is, I want to ask you as a cultivator now, actually should we open our mouth to say also? Also because, this arises in us to say.
But do you actually subscribe to it? Then what are you saying?
Kind intention, because people don't know.
But you don't subscribe to it, what?
That's why I don't.
No. So the first thing is, you don't subscribe to it, but yet you are trying to tell others about it.
Because everybody says that you cannot stretch your leg in a frame, you cannot wear the beads.
Yeah, but you don't subscribe to it, ma.
Yeah, correct.
That's the important thing, ma.
So you mean that if I don't subscribe to it, then I'm saying that?
Well, when we say we don't subscribe to it, it could be that you just don't agree with it, or you haven't found reasons to agree with it. But not finding reasons to agree with it may also mean that you didn't put in effort to find, or that you have put in effort and somehow cannot find any rationale for it. And even after asking 101 other cultivators, none of them can give you a reasonable explanation. Yeah. So there are many reasons why one may not subscribe to something.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to it because I told you when we stretch ourselves, for me personally I don't subscribe because when I stretch ourselves because our leg is painful. The Buddha sitting there, he didn't say, respect to me is come from the heart. So whether I stretch or not stretch, you know, my heart, if I respect the Buddha, I will do it automatically. To me, I don't subscribe to it. So maybe that's why I felt, maybe I shouldn't open my mouth to say, as a cultivator.
You keep on saying as a cultivator.
I mean, I don't agree in the first place, but this is the rule set down by people, right?
What is the Bible?
I also have a question.
No, not Nan Tao Sifu. I'm waiting for her to get ready for answer. I mentioned a case about where a person speaks because a person is affected by it. Yeah, it may not be your case, may not be the case of those people who are saying it. Yeah, but I often like to get the most obvious case out of the way first. So this is the first obvious case that we should be aware of. I say that as an obvious case because in principle it's obvious, but not in practice. In practice, it's oftentimes blur whether it is just because we are affected by it Or is it really, like, in principle, wrong? Oftentimes it's a combination. But even when it's a combination, if we are affected by it, in terms of us getting upset with it, rightly speaking, we shouldn't speak. Because we should never act when defilements are active. If we still feel that that is in principle correct, we should find someone who is not affected to speak. Then that person can be impartial and can speak and act only with respect to the principle. Because our mind is very creative, especially when it's driven by defilements. So I point that out, not necessarily because it is directly your case, but it is an obvious case in principle, but not so obvious in practice. Yeah. A person may start off highlighting because it is a principle that they heard. A lot of people subscribe to principles without understanding the rationale as well. There are people who don't subscribe to principle, but they may or may not know the rationale as well. There are some who subscribe to a principle because they know the rationale and they agree and subscribe to the rationale. But more often than not, people just observe a certain practice or regulation simply because it's the norm, not because they know why. Aside, the trouble is, especially because they don't know why, they may start off with a good intent, seemingly good intent, but when someone were to resist, they would take it personally as a resistance towards them. And that is the start of the active defilement. To begin with, it started off with defilement. And so as a result, when people disagree with us, defilement being present, pride being present, then the person will take it personally and not back down. Yeah, and especially when the person don't know the rationale, then the person must enforce it with absolute insistence, you know. Yeah, that you know, you must. Don't ask so much. You go to hell or whatever will come out, you know. I've heard one student tell me, the mother tell her that she cannot ask questions. That she asked so much questions, she'll go to hell. When she came to see me and asked some Dharma question and end with this, she broke down in tears. Yeah, I feel very, very bad for her. I asked her, who told you this? She said her mother. It's not that mother start off one day decided, I'm going to terrorize my daughter. No, it's actually her mother's, the way I interpret it, her mother's ego. She cannot take the daughter questioning her statements. If you know the rationale, you have nothing to fear. Okay, you question. Let's sit down, you know, prepare a cup of tea, get ready for 3 hours of discussion.
Yes.
I do this not to wear people out, but because I'm genuinely ready to have a discussion. Yeah. Why they are doing what? Then oftentimes are afraid of going to this. And so they just want you to just shut up and just do it. Yeah. So this is a telltale sign. When people insist that you must just do it with absolute obedience, yeah, without a need to explain, more often than not, it is a sign of the ego and pride at work. And so in such a particular case, it is not wise for the person to be meting out discipline, yeah, or to say with kind intent, because that kind intent is not kind also, it's not pure. When the person is met with resistance, the person will come with even more incredulous reasonings, yeah, and then we'll use the Dharma in the wrong way, you know, we'll use the Dharma to justify and rationalize why the person must submit to our will. And after a while, it's about that person submitting to our will, then for the person's good. Yet our defilement will spin all kinds of stories. Yeah. So if you can be sure that when we act, yeah, don't care about whether other people are sure. We just have to be sure of one person, ourselves. That our intent is clear. That's the first and foremost thing. If it's not clear, when in doubt, then don't act. Consult someone that you have respect for. Consult someone that you have seen through precedence, that a person is able to guide others with compassion, with wisdom, and without defilement. We don't always have to be the one. If our intent is to guide the person and not about we guiding, yeah, you see the difference? Do you wish for the person to be guided in the right direction, or do you wish to guide the person? This is a very big difference. If we practice the contemplation of no self, on emptiness, yeah, then slowly our focus start to shift to focus more on the welfare and benefit of that recipient and not us as the person to deliver, to liberate. No liberator. For that matter, doesn't have to be us to liberate. Yeah. Then you find that many times you may not find yourself to be suitable. There may be occasions where you find that you are suitable. Yeah. But if you were to go through this process, then in those cases where you are clear that you are suitable, you can be assured that you are the best person. Okay? Amitabha. You have a related question.
Because last year, maybe about 30 plus young ladies, very, very, very short to sibling.
Very short.
Very short.
So, as in, they are very short.
Dressing.
Very short.
I mean, as youngster, like that. So, because now it's the 7 year, right? People invite to see. I was thinking.
Then later the Bodhisattvas who is doing blessing, they get distracted. How?
I was about, my mind is also very straightforward.
Then Buddha bless her with that. Oi? How? Horrible. Do you think?
But then I said, I better don't let them learn. Maybe down the road, they come more often, then they hurt it themselves.
Mm.
Maybe they will change. So I don't know whether
So first and foremost, that was a joke, okay? The Buddhas and Bodhisattvas won't get distracted. Who can get distracted? Unenlightened beings. So the question is, to what extent would there be distraction? Personally, I would prefer that those who are supposed to remain undistracted should be the one to put in effort to remain undistracted. It is not the duty of the rest of the world to try not to distract us. I'm not saying you all should try to distract us also. But it's our personal duty to remain undistracted. We shouldn't outsource this responsibility to you all.
So I was thinking, if I tell them, maybe they don't come already.
Exactly.
So I mean, thinking of...
There's a high chance that these two young ladies, maybe they are regulars. Maybe they are coming for the first time after much cajoling, much encouragement, or much threat from the parents. Then, bo pian la, come la. And if one Hao Xing Ren were to go and say, "Hey, Xiao Jie, hey, excuse me, cannot wear shorts like that, huh? Cannot,
I don't talk like that.
No, la. I mean, let's say someone. Then what happened? These two, maybe get embarrassed, worse still, get upset. Now, I'm not saying that they are right to be upset or not, but if the person is upset, the person is upset. Mm. And when that happens, then what happens? The next day, maybe the 7 day or 2 weeks or 1 month prayers, next day don't come, next year won't come again. Yeah. Then the parents ask, hey, how come don't go and pay Kong? I thought every year you go. The one la, this year I went, then got the Santi wear red and white one, come and... yeah, so malu, no, embarrassing, you know. Yeah. The other closing is even more revealing. That is the most unrevealing already. Yeah. So for my classes, I don't enforce a strict dress code. Yeah. So far, nobody come in lingerie or swimming wear.
We got wear shorts, like it's a mini one. Then I already explained that actually inside got shorts. Cannot see. I mean, it
cannot see. Then you ask the person, you can't check. Okay.
It's not the norm, you see.
Yeah. So,
that's why I'm asking.
So, on one hand,
refrain from saying something.
No. Well, are you wearing or are you?
Person say.
Then,
yeah. But it's a norm in all temple that we should not dress mini skirt. Lah.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
But
for
the weather very hot.
I agree. You know, in Buddha's time, there's no such a thing like a temple like that, you know. So it's just a forest and it's an open park. Anyone can walk in and out. Yeah, anyone can walk in and out. There's no drawing of how people wear, but you can imagine in those days, yeah, they probably cover lesser than how you all are covered today. But I haven't seen any sutta where the monk say, stop! Upasika, stop! You are not properly dressed. Please go back and dress up before you come and attain sutapanna. No, I'm talking about Buddha's time. Yeah. In the Buddha's time, there's no such stipulation. Yeah. But let me share with you from another angle. Sometimes it is to prevent others from having the wrong mindset. If let's say some students who are regular go to the temple, okay, and then they dress up in a very I want to use the word scantily dress, but the word scantily itself kind of imply that it's underdress, okay. But the thing is, today if you go to NUS, NTU, all the girls try to give talk. Then how? I go there, then two guards in front, dong dong dong, qiang dong qiang, shi fu dao, duan ku duan qun, mian zou kai. Cannot what? Correct not? So if we have to, at the end of the day, ask ourselves what we want. Do we want people to just appear prim and proper, or do we want to reach out to everybody, including the youth? If you want to reach out to the youth, you have to accept how they dress, right? Do you want to purify their mind, help them purify their mind, or purify their dressing? Which one do you want? Now, people's choice of purification is right or wrong, but for me, I would prefer to get them Can?
Yeah.
Yep. Is it working? Yeah. So personally, like for okay, don't point out any example. Don't turn the camera. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, she's very decently dressed, but some may feel that it's too short, right? But if we go to Orchard, everybody is this is the baseline already. Yeah. In fact, this is above the baseline already. Yeah. Most of the girls short like it's short no, not shorts no. This is already long shorts. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we have to ask ourselves, be really honest with ourselves. Do we just want to see people like-minded in the sense of dress code? Or do we want to welcome people of all walks of life to come and learn Dharma so that we can all move towards purification? Yeah.
So can I add something?
Uh-huh.
The reason why I come to all your classes is because you are relevant.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm relevant. No, I think it's more important that Dharma is relevant. And it's our duty to, and our responsibility to make it relevant. Mm. But if you choose to go to certain temples where they have such stipulation, have the faith that it is for some good reason, yeah. But if you one day find that you just cannot connect with that, then just don't go lah. But it's a pity lah. It's a pity because there are so many centers with such good teachings there, such a good. There's so much treasure inside, yeah. But then because of the dress code, people cannot even hear about it. It's very sad.
So that's why, sir, I raised this question because it's very relevant.
Yes.
I just ask you because I feel as a cultivator. I mean, I'm not cultivator.
As a cultivator. Like cultivator campaign. Ah, yes.
I mean, we'll bring it out lah, because it's like this.
No, no, it is a relevant question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's also partly why just now I joke about, you know, how you all shouldn't enforce certain stipulation. Yeah, SGC is the way it is for a reason. Yeah, not because I like this or that. It's really not about my preference. It's about making SGC open for both young and old to come and learn. Yeah, and to take away as much as possible of the cultural layers, yeah, without being detrimental to Dharma learning. Yeah. I've seen how even foreigners, when they come for classes, sometimes the first time they come, you know, they may wear spaghetti straps even, yeah, but after a few sessions, you find that they naturally just tone down. Yeah. They start to dress. In fact, the other day when they came, some of them look like they are wearing the exercise wear. Yeah, because most of them don't have long pants except the jogging, the track suit. Yeah, so they will naturally just wear what is appropriate over time. Yeah, we shouldn't have to worry about that. Yes.
I want to ask about the principle of stretching the leg.
Yes.
Is it in principle and the reason?
So, the interesting thing is that this is oftentimes found in the Theravadan tradition, that pointing your leg towards the Buddha statue is, or the speaker, is impolite. Yeah, but, I mean, y'all tell me how you feel. How do y'all feel? You know, like if I were to say, eh, versus, eh, eh. Right, it's a very natural thing. If someone were to kick you with the leg, even if it doesn't hurt, just push you with the leg.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone very close, no. You know, like family members. Even if it's your cousin, you'll be like, unless it's a close cousin. Your auntie suddenly like that, kick you like that, you know, shove you like that. You feel like you're two more, right? It's a correct role play. You know? Yeah. So some of this is not about some rules or regulation, it's about a bit of cultural common sense also. Yeah. You just imagine someone pointed the feet at in your face. Yeah. Or if I like that. Or imagine it, you know, sometimes in the temple we say don't sit when you're eating, don't sit like that, then shake your leg. Imagine if Sifu give Dharma talk then like that. can you imagine? How would you feel? I have seen one, not me. So a lot of this is actually a mutual thing. And even if we think that the Buddha won't feel it, maybe just out of consideration for how others may feel. Because sometimes it's like some students may ask certain questions and I can almost feel the whole class tense up because the whole class feel it's not appropriate. But I personally don't feel that it's a problem. So I will try to diffuse the situation and sort of get everybody to laugh about it, but not laugh at the person. So that the person can feel at ease and everybody can feel at ease, then I can address the Dharma question. Because this action itself is just the exterior, isn't it? Yeah. Whether there's respect or not, as you say, is inside the heart, ma. But people cannot see your heart, ma. That's the problem.
It's just after meditation, it just happened to stretch out a bit more straight.
So if it's one time, we can say that you don't know, ma. If it's many times, then you have no reason, ma. So you just I just give the example, ma. You okay or not?
If don't do that, ma, we just stretch our back in front of
you. It's the same thing, what? How do you feel at that if I give Dharma talk this way? Pointing at you, just at you. How do you feel? I mean, to be honest about it. Right? If you go to the office and your colleague, when the moment you talk to him like that, you feel uneasy, right? And the moment somebody else comes, immediately put down, yes, Mr. Lim? Later. Then once the person is gone, again like that, how would you feel? And you notice this colleague only do that to you. I mean, be very honest. Would you feel that it's okay? No, right? So don't say that Buddha never say. We don't need Buddha to tell us everything one ma. Buddha also never say I cannot spit at you what? Can I not? Will you go and find? Until you find I can spit at you. Can or not? Cannot, right? So doesn't mean that it's okay to do it just because Buddha never say. Table? Must use wisdom. Table? Cannot.
In the beads, is it true that only monks can put it?
No, the same principle. You don't have to. Because there will be 101 things that you have questioned. You must understand the principle. Don't just memorize that particular scenario.
No, then my senior taught me, say because of compassion for others. So every time you take it out, when you chant, you take out. Then when they
are
didn't, then you already got no hand, then put back again.
Then coil around your hand, no? Why can't you coil around your hand? Why must we insist, just as why must they insist that you cannot put here, why must we insist that you must put here? Correct or not? To wrap up, Arahants are very interesting. Arahants will not do things that is clearly harmful. Yeah? They will not do things that requires them to act out of defilements. Yeah, in general, this principle is true. But sometimes, arahants may do certain things that is against the vinaya, the precepts. As long as that action itself is not driven by defilement, they may still do it. Because they don't know that it was set a rule already. So, one case in point, in the Vinaya, there was one time an arahant put a water container behind the door. Another monk who was staying in the same hut came in, opened the door, and then it toppled. The water was spilled. So the other monk, seeing that the water spilled, asked him and said, "Don't you know that there was a rule set that we should not put it there precisely because that happened? And the Tathagata, the Buddha, has set a rule that water containers should not be put behind the door." The arahant don't say, "Why, what's the problem?" The arahant don't say, "But I didn't do purposely what? I didn't..." No, the arahant don't give any excuse. Say, "Oh, okay, in that case, I'll not do it again." Simply because it's set a rule, he just don't do it again. Because no more I want to do. You need two ego to fight. Only one ego cannot fight. Yeah. Huh? Amitabha. So transform our ego.
愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛。